So this word sincere, that word that's up on the screen there, it literally means this, all right? It translates from the Greek into our modern English language as without a mask. Okay. Without a mask. Now, we're getting somewhere. I heard some oohs. I like that. That's good. That's good. All right, so without a mask. Now, in fact, to the people of Rome, to the people that Paul was writing this letter to, they would have understood this word to mean something even deeper than that. Okay? This was an extremely deep word. This word had extreme meaning in their language. For that word that's up there on the screen, it referred to the way... Now some of you, if you like history like me, you may know this. If you don't, I'll describe it to you, okay? For those Romans at that time, it described the way that in their theater, in ancient Greek theater, that the actors and the actresses would walk out on stage carrying a mask, right? And that mask that they would carry on the stage with them would represent the emotion of the character that they were trying to play, okay? Which is why whenever you see any kind of old theater building, any kind of theater like symbol, anything like that, you generally see it portrayed by a couple of masks, right? So this is where that word comes from. I have a couple of examples of some of the masks that they would carry with them on stage. I didn't have any that scary to bring with me this morning, so this was the best we had. Okay. Although some of those are pretty cool. But I'm a little terrified of some of them. So, to the people that Paul was writing to in Rome, they would have understood that word sincere to mean without a mask, just like those actors and those actresses would walk out onto the stage carrying that mask to show their emotion. Now, it would all have a unique meaning depending on the character they were playing. Some would be melodramatic, some would be comedic, some would be, I don't know, excitement, some would be sadness, some would be despair, whatever character they were playing. Whatever that character's emotion was at that time would be the mask that they were playing, that they were carrying, excuse me. Now, when we think of love, we don't usually think of mask, do we? No? That's good. You guys are interactive. I love this. All right. When we think of love, we don't often think of mask. But let's think about it this way. Now, believe it or not, winter is upon us, right? Although this morning when I woke up, it didn't really seem like winter. Hey, I'll take it, right? Some of you, though, you may have woke up this morning and been like, oh my goodness, I wish summer was back. I need to be on the beach somewhere. I need to have my feet in the sand. So, all right, see, okay. And I never want to be like 50 degrees, like, oh my goodness, like I might as well be a polar bear, right? So, believe it or not, winter is here now. Because of that, I know that some of your brains might be a little colder than normal, a little more frozen, but I need you guys to think back in the past with me, okay? Can you think back that far? Get this. We're going to think back like 3-4 months, okay? I know. It's difficult. Think back 3 or 4 months with me, okay? We celebrated a very important holiday 3 or 4 months ago. Can anybody tell me what holiday that was? Now, none of you guessed it because you are all good Nazarenes, and so none of you celebrate this holiday, I'm very sure, right? Okay. Now you guys are on with E. I just thought you guys. You guys thought you were good Nazarenes, but I knew it. All right. So, obviously, we are talking about Halloween, right? A few months ago. See? You knew it. All right. So, a few months ago, we celebrated, or maybe didn't celebrate, but we were around people who celebrated Halloween, right? Well, how do people celebrate Halloween? They put on masks, right? They put on whatever kind of mask they're playing. Maybe they're playing a character. So maybe they put on a mask for that particular character. Maybe they don't wear a mask at all, but maybe they put on some makeup, or even just simply putting on a costume, right? Can really change the appearance. Can really change the person that you're trying to portray that you are. Now, Halloween is a time, generally, and traditionally, when people young and old of all walks of life, of all generations, put on a mask to represent somebody different, right? Now, Halloween is also a good time for funny things to happen, all right? Now, I don't know about you, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not normally one to wear masks, okay? This is like the first mask I put on in a few months, okay? All right. All right. I'm not one to generally wear masks, but I one time wore a mask. And that was it. Okay, come on, guys. All right, fine. You guys aren't quite awake this morning as I thought you were. All right. But my reason for not wearing masks is generally when I put one on, it's a little warm, which I'm experiencing right now. All right, it can be a little hot. Sometimes it can be hard to breathe. This one's good because I can breathe pretty well out of it. But there was a time, I remember, Halloween, a few years ago. Now, I was about 16 years old, right? So, around the age of some of you in this room. Well, I decided, get this, I was much too old to celebrate such silly holidays, right? I know some of you in this room, especially over here in this section, right? You guys are too old to celebrate. I get it. I'm right there with you, okay? Your mind will change in a few years. You'll want the candy, okay? All right. So, I decided I was much too old to celebrate this silly holiday. I was definitely not going to dress up, and I definitely, no matter what, was definitely not wearing a mask. So, we went out, and we went around town. We were at my grandparents' neighborhood, right? It was me and my family and our cousins, and everybody was there. We were out walking around, up and down the street. All the little kids were getting the candy. Well, 16-year-old CJ decides, well, I think I need some of this candy, right? I'm telling you guys, you may not think you want the candy, but you do, okay? Is really good. Okay? So I decided that I wanted some of this candy. Well, the problem was I didn't have a costume. I didn't have any kind of mask. I didn't have anything. So tell me this. How many people do you think would give candy to a 16-year-old that comes up and rings the doorbell and says, trick or treat, right? They probably, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good. Okay? If somebody came up to my door like that, I don't know. Yeah, just don't try it, okay? Don't try it. All right? But I was also a very wise 16-year-old, okay? Very, very wise. Much like I am today. But I decided, if I don't have a costume, I know somewhere I can find one. Now, you see, my cousin who was on the trip with us, they had a costume. He had a costume. His mom had worked very hard on it. They put it together. He loved this costume. He was so excited for it. But he had decided at the last minute, like, he wasn't going to do this trick-or-treating thing. Like, it just wasn't for him. And so he wasn't going to wear his costume. So I ran back to my grandparents' house, ran into the living room, and I grabbed his costume, okay? I put it on, and there I went, out to celebrate and to trick-or-treat and to get all the candy, okay, which I so desperately needed. All right. Now, I was going to wear this costume. I went to the first house. Rang the doorbell, trick-or-treat, got some candy. All was great in the world, right? I went to the next house. Rang the doorbell, trick-or-treat, got more candy. Again, all was great in the world. I was doing great. This was fantastic. I had more candy than I could ever imagine. That's not true. I like had like two things. But anyway, it was a good time. Everything was going well. Well, eventually, okay, I should... Before I go on, I should probably mention the fact that this costume of my cousin, see, he was like 2 years old, 3 years old maybe at the time. So it was a very cute little pumpkin costume. I promise it was. It was extremely cute, and I know that I was definitely the cutest 16-year-old pumpkin stuffed in the 3-year-old pumpkin costume that you've ever seen, right? Crazy how that works, right? This is why I don't wear a mask and I don't dress up. I have nightmares about that day, okay, guys? All right. So here I am, smushed, stuffed and smushed into this little itty-bitty cute pumpkin costume, going around, getting candy. Eventually, after some time, I catch up with the rest of my family. My cousin's there, now my 3-year-old cousin, whose costume it originally was. He was been going around trick-or-treating. Now get this, guys, okay? This is where it's not fair. For all of you, this is where it's not fair. For any of you adults who give out candy to trick-or-treaters, this is not fair, okay? So take note. My 2 or 3-year-old cousin, he had been trick-or-treating. Now, he didn't have a costume. He didn't have anything. But he would go up to the doorbell, ring the doorbell. He would barely say trick-or-treat. He would only say it if his mommy forced him to. And he would get candy. I tried that, and they laughed at me, okay? So it's not fair. The 16-year-olds need candy too. All right. But eventually I caught up to them, and so finally I was going around with the family, and I'm in this pumpkin costume. Me and my little cousin, whose costume it was, we decided we were going to go up to this one person's house, okay? We were going to go up together. The rest of the family, I believe, is at the house next door or something. But we decided we were going to walk up together. And so we walked up to the door, rang the doorbell. The lady opened the door. My little cousin said, "Trick or treat." It was great. We both got candy. Score. Well, then this poor, sweet lady, I'm sure she had wonderful intentions in life, looked at me and looked at my little cousin and said, "Sir, you are just the most amazing father to this kid I've ever seen." And I've never gone trick-or-treating since. All right, back to where we were talking about. Okay, back to Paul. Sorry, guys. I know. I'm a storyteller. I love it. Okay. Nonetheless, guys, October 31st, just a few months ago, thousands of people all around the world, they celebrated by putting on masks to hide their identity, to portray a different character than they normally are. Okay? Now, let me ask you guys this, okay? Why would Paul use this analogy of love being sincere, love being without a mask, a love that is genuine, a love that is sincere, right? Love that is pure. Why would he ask that? Now, let me ask you guys another question. Something to think about this morning. What mask do you put on every day? What mask do you put on every day? Do you wake up every morning and put on your happiness mask? Maybe you put on a smile. Maybe you put on, I don't know, this joy on your face, right? You wake up and you put on your happiness mask. Or maybe you simply try to keep yourself flying under the radar. You put on your melodramatic mask, right? You try to go through life unnoticed. You just try to go through life making it by each and every day. You just want to succeed. You're not really worried about the final outcome, but you just want to make it through the day, right? That's all you care about, right? But that's not what Paul's talking about here. That's not at all. Paul is saying that to truly love as Christ first loved us, we must have a love that is sincere. When Paul tells us that love is to be sincere in this passage in Romans 12:9, he says to love just because, right? He says to love just because. Love sincerely. Love must be sincere. Paul takes it one step farther than that into the Romans, who Paul's writing this letter, they would have understood it. But Paul's not saying just love just because, right? To us, that's what it says, but to them, he's not saying love just because. No, Paul's saying that we are to love, Paul's saying that to truly love, we shouldn't play a role, right? We shouldn't be on stage as an actor. We shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be a dramatic kind of love. But to love like Christ, to love as Paul calls us to love as the church is called to love, we must love sincerely, right? We must love without the mask. And so finally I can take this off, right? Alright. I know it's scarier without the mask, I'm sorry. But we must love without a mask. We must love sincerely. We must not try to hide behind those things that we do each and every day. We, like I said, we wake up in the morning sometimes, and I'm guilty of it myself. We wake up and we put on that mask. We try to play a certain role throughout the day. We try to portray a certain character. Maybe it's somebody that we're not actually. Maybe it's somebody who we wish we were. Maybe it's somebody who we are because we've been wearing that mask for so long, we've forgotten who we really are, right? So we are to love without a mask. But it's not always that easy, is it? It's not. Perhaps it's easier to love others when you hide behind your mask, right? Perhaps it's easier. I get it. It's easier sometimes to hide behind that mask, to portray that character that we're not really, to be that somebody else. Perhaps it's easier, like I said, to hide behind that mask because you become so accustomed to wearing it. This is basically who you are now, right? But let me ask you guys another question. Where is your identity found? this morning? Is your identity found in that character that you're portraying? Is your identity found in your friends or your family or your loved ones? Is your identity found in your favorite hobby, your favorite sports team, your financial success, whatever it may be? Where is your identity found this morning? Those can all be masks that we wear. Those can all be costumes that we put on. Those can all be things we hide behind that, as Paul says, keep us from truly being the church, from truly loving as Christ loves us. We hide behind these masks, and it's where our identity becomes found. We begin to become what we want to be instead of who we actually are, right? The Bible says, time and time again, that our identity isn't found in any of that. It's not found in family or friends or whatever it may be. It's not. Our identity is found in Christ. Right? That's all there is to it. So Paul's saying in this text, love must be sincere. It shouldn't be something it's not. All love needs to be is Christ. Right? And because of this, because where our identity is found, we don't have to worry about putting on a mask. Isn't that great news? We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to wake up every morning and even try. It's just there. Because of that, we can drop our mask and we can proudly show off His image, right? Love that is sincere. Love that is unmasked. This is what I want you to get this morning. That kind of love, it allows us to be genuine as Christ is genuine in our lives, right? It allows us to love as Christ loves us. It allows us to be an example of His love to the world. But what does Christ's love look like? I always find myself asking these questions. What does Christ's love look like? Sure, CJ, I can take off my mask. I can throw it on the ground. I can say, I'm going to wear Jesus on my face this morning, right? But what does that look like? How do you do that? I don't know. I've been wearing this mask for so long that I've forgotten who I even am. So how am I supposed to surely look like Christ? Well, good news for you guys. Paul goes on, right? Paul goes on in this passage. Paul goes on in verse 9, right after he says those words, love must be sincere. We pull it up on the screen this morning. If you take a look in your Bible, he goes on to say this: hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Now, for some of us, it might come as a shock. It did for me to discover the word hate, which is an incompatible word to most of us. For the word hate generally doesn't follow the word love, does it? Generally, you don't see love something and hate something, right? That, right? Mind blown, right? They're generally thought to be incompatible, but they're not. Paul's placement of these words in this verse, he teaches us a very important truth, right? Paul's very sneaky about this stuff. He's very good at what he does, right? He's teaching us a very important truth here. Paul writes in this verse, love hates what is evil, and it clings to what is good. We see this parallel, we see this tension of love and hate several more times in the Bible and several more times throughout the book of Romans. But nowhere, I feel, is it more clear than this. This tension between this love and this hate and this compatibleness, but this separateness. And like I said, keep tracking with me, guys. It doesn't always make sense, but that's what Paul's trying to tell us this morning. It's this very important truth. Perhaps one of the most sublime statements in all of the Bible is found in 1 John when it's written, God is love. But there's no hate there, right? Again, CJ, you just said that there's love and there's hate, they go together. Well, if God is love, it doesn't say God is hate too, right? So don't even go there, right? Let me break it down a little bit for us this morning. But God is not only love, and track with, try to track with me this morning. If God is not only love, we see in Proverbs chapter 6, we find six things that God also hates. It says in Proverbs 6:16, says these words, "Eyes that are arrogant, a tongue that lies, hands that murder the innocent, a heart that hatches evil plots, feet that race down a wicked track, and a mouth that lies under oath, a troublemaker in the family." How many of you were that troublemaker? Just out of curiosity. I was. In Proverbs, it says these are the things that are detestable to God. These are the things that God does not love. Therefore, you get this morning, guys. Therefore, if we are to truly love as Christ loves, if we are to be sincere in our love of others, if we are to be sincere in our love for the world, then there must be things for us to hate also, right? Just as there will be things that we must love. Now, don't get off track. We must love everything. But there are some things that we must also not, that we must, there are also things that we must detest. Let me break it down a little bit more. We will hate the violence done to people by whatever name, nationalism, racial or religious pride, war, keeping the peace or out of necessity, but we will love and humble those who work for peace, right? Yes, and even those who are guilty of the violence, because we want them to turn from their lives. So we hate the war, we hate the violence, we hate all those things going on in our world, but as Christians, we're called to love them, right? Right? We will hate lying. Another example. We will hate lying, especially by those who are in important positions. CEOs and other heads of corporations, political figures, media personalities, sports figures, and even ministers. We will hate what their lies do to others. Yet we will love the truth and at the same time also love those who are lying. For we will see them as people who are in need of a Savior, right? You see, when we truly love like Christ, when we are able to take off our mask, then we are able to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. In the next few chapters, in the next few verses of this chapter 12, after describing sincere love in a general way, again, Paul does amazing things here in this text. He begins to show how love should operate in our lives. So he gives us this general, this broad definition of what love looks like. But then he begins to break it down. He gives us 9 examples of this. And they can all be found starting in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. If we are truly, truly, truly to love like Christ, Paul says we must first remove our mask and display our true selves. But then, and only then, must our lives live out that love, right? To ourselves, to others around us, to people we don't even know, to people we may never meet. When we remove our mask and allow the image of Christ to be displayed, we are to be these 9 things, right? We are to be devoted. Paul calls us to be devoted right there, beginning of verse 10. Or as the King James Version puts it, to be kindly affectionate towards one another. Kindly is based upon the word kin, which means family. We are told that we are to love and treat others as members of our own family. When we take off our mask and we live as Christ's image, we become an even greater member of the family of God. We can recognize ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ, and it allows ourselves to truly love one another as Christ loves, because we're all members of the same family, right? Paul goes on to say we are also to be humble, outdoing one another and showing honor. Instead of competing for Facebook friends, the best parking spot at Walmart, the latest fashion accessories, Paul states that sincere love just requires us to be humble. If we remove our mask and we no longer, then we must no longer worry about what others think of us, right? We no longer have to consistently look over our shoulder to make sure we are being recognized for our actions. In other words, I love what the pastor, James Boyce, he wrote in his commentary on the book of Romans. He said these words. He says, "Don't wait around for people to recognize your contributions and praise you. Instead, be alert for what you are. Instead, be alert for what they are contributing and honor them." In other words, it's not about what we do. It's not about us getting the glory. It's ultimately about God giving the glory. And along the way, why don't we give other people some praise as well, right? To truly love like Christ loves us, when we truly take off that mask, to be kindly affectionate, to be humble. I believe, unfortunately, though, when it comes to this humility, when it comes to being humble, I believe that when we take a look at many of today's churches, sadly, we find the opposite a lot of times, right? Instead of thinking about and appreciating what other Christians are doing, our minds usually are on ourselves, right? And we are resentful that they are not sufficiently recognized or appreciated, right? Our actions that we do in the church, we can easily and quickly become upset because we weren't recognized for that, right? We weren't recognized for what we did. We weren't praised for what we did. But here's the question. Who are you praising, right? If you want somebody to praise you for what you've done, shouldn't we go praise somebody else for what they've done, right? How can we expect somebody to do something for us that we haven't done for somebody else? Therefore, it's easy. It's easy to become jealous of other Christians. Oftentimes, great harm is done by such jealousy in the church. Ministries have been severely weakened. Churches have split. Valuable cases have been set back for generations and generations. Paul must have seen this potential for the church. For he wrote in Philippians to the church of Philippi, he wrote these words, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider one another better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Guys, this morning, this is how sincere love is to function. It gets to the front line, not to receive its own honor, but to show honor and respect for others that are behind us, right? The old joke goes that you always want to be the first one in line at the buffet, right? That may or may not be a good idea. But the old saying says that, you want to be first. Well, why? Do you want to be first so you can have the best food for yourselves, or do you want to be first so that you can serve others behind you? Something to think about this morning, right? Paul goes on to write in Romans chapter 12 and jumps over a little bit to verse 11. He writes of three other ways that we are to live out our love, which is unmasked. Paul writes that our love is to be passionate. It's to let the Spirit excite you as you serve the Lord. He goes on to say, but keep your spiritual fervor, to be obedient. The word fervor is a verb meaning to boil. Now, I had to look that up. I don't have to go around using the word fervor too often. But it's a word which means to boil. So a literal translation of this phrase could be this, boiling in respect to the Spirit. Okay? Keep your spiritual fervor. Be so spiritually involved that you're boiling over with the Spirit, right? Unfortunately, since boiling suggests heat, and often when we think of heat, we think of it having to do with anger, right? Some would suggest that it would be better to think of this Christian way of love, of this Christian way of viewing the Spirit, as being aglow or bubbling over in the Spirit. When we are aglow in the Spirit, we are obedient to His leading. We are loving without a mask, which often requires and can even force us to reach out in love to those who we might not normally associate with. Paul goes on and says this, be excited. Serving the Lord has probably been added to your, keep your spiritual fervor. These two are very closely tied together in this passage. Be obedient and be excited. Serving the Lord, like I said, has probably been added to keep your spiritual fervor, to show that being obedient to the Spirit is not without direction, but is instead focused on the Word and the work and the cause of Christ. But Paul does not simply state that we are to serve the Lord. In fact, in many other translations of this verse, the word enthusiastically or excited is often added to the end of this verse. Because I believe Paul's intent with this little phrase, was this. Paul wants us to be obedient and aglow in the Spirit. And that by doing so, it causes us to want to serve the Lord because we want to, as opposed to doing it because we have to, right? If we truly are to love others and to love the church and to be the church as Christ has called us, we must be excited to do the work of the Lord because we want to. We don't even have to think about it. We don't even have to go, well, should I or shouldn't I? Should I be or should I not be? Well, I just want to do it because it's what I'm supposed to do, right? Paul goes on, verse 12, he says this, be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. Paul goes on to state that sincere love allows for believers to be joyful in hope and to be enduring. Paul's claims suggest that Christians are not free from trials and tribulations. No. Surely, this can be a daunting task to some of us. As often we initially put on our mask in an effort to avoid such things, right? Generally, we put on those masks to try to hide from the trials and tribulations in our life. It's easy to do. I know I'm guilty of it. I've done it before. But we have to remove those masks, Paul says. So it is a truly, truly daunting task. However, Paul says this, that by bearing the image of Christ and loving unmasked, it allows for us to make it through those difficult times without resorting to that mask. But then, because I like to ask questions, but then if Paul says, if you love unmasked, if you love sincerely, if you love like Christ, then you should be able to not have to hide behind your mask when those trials and tribulations come. Well then, oh my goodness, I get a little terrified. What the heck do I do then, right? What do I do? As Paul states at the end of verse 12, he says this, be relentless in prayer. Paul warns that we are to be relentless in our prayer lives. But he knows it is often the only defense we have when we face trials without a mask. In fact, Paul doesn't just say that prayer is a good idea. Rather, Paul says that being in a continuous state of prayer is a direct result of loving sincerely, of loving unmasked. But if you're like me and you sometimes find yourself overwhelmed by how to pray and what to pray and when to pray, perhaps it would be easier to put your mask back on and hide behind the fake facade that you have created for yourself. But as Jesus has stated multiple times over and over again throughout the Gospels, it is not about how you pray, what you say, or even how elegant your prayer life is. Rather, it's about praying from the bottom of your heart, praying without a mask, praying sincerely from your heart, out of love for Christ. That's all it is. The last of Paul's 9 examples takes up the entirety of verse 13. So it must be important. Verse 13 says this, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. In other words, I think Paul would put it like this, be eager to contribute. Seek to show hospitality. Now this is more than just giving money to those that are in need. Rather, if a person is in mourning, we should identify with them in sorrow and give what comfort we can. If another is lonely or abandoned, we should be company for them. And Jesus made such things a test of whether or not a person is truly a Christian. Did you guys know that? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said this, come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and yet you came to visit me." But here's the test. Skip ahead a few verses and Jesus responds with this. Matthew 25:46. "Those who had not done what they were asked to do were sent away into eternal punishment." This morning, I don't know how anything could be more practical than this, right? To love one another, to honor one another, to serve one another, to pray for one another, and to meet one another's needs is the very heart of what it means to be a true Christian, right? Now let me ask you once again, what mask do you put on every day? Do you head to work or to school, to the golf course, to your best friend's house, to the grocery store with your mask on every day? When others see you, what do they see? Do they see you with a mask that gives off the appearance of a pleasant person, or do they see the image of Christ upon your face? When they are in need, will they know that your love is sincere for them? This morning, as we prepare to close, I want to ask you one more question. To be devoted, to be humble, to be passionate, to be obedient, to be excited, to be joyful, to be enduring, to be relentless, and to be eager, or not to be. To put on the mask of love, or to put on the love of Christ. To put on that mask every morning, or to just let Christ's love shine from your face. To be or not to be, that is the question this morning, guys. We're going to wrap up in prayer this morning as the band comes. We'll give them just a moment to get ready. But we're going to sing a song, guys. And as we close, I want you to think about those masks that you put on every day. Do you wake up every morning and put on your mask to hide behind? Or do you wake up every morning and don't even worry about it? Your mask is already there. You're already wearing the image of Christ. I know one thing. Oftentimes, I don't have enough time in my life to have to try, right? So one less thing I have to worry about is great. We don't even have to worry about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Father. Father God, we are so grateful and we are so thankful. And Father, we are even blessed to know that it's not about what we do. It's not about waking up every morning and trying as hard as we can, Father, to make it through the day. It's not about loving others with this love that's unattainable and unreachable, Father. All it is about waking up every morning and knowing that you are with us and you are there and that you use your face upon us, Father. And that because of that, we can love in all these ways that the church is called to love, Father. It's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of effort because it's who we're made to be. We're not made to be those people with a mask, Father. We are made to be in your image. Father God, I pray this morning that you would just help us to leave here this morning knowing that when we drop our mask, we have nothing to be afraid of. That when we drop our mask, we have nothing to fear. Because that is when love can truly flow out of us. That is when love truly will flow out of us. Father God, give us the strength and the courage to do just that this week, Father. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have each week to come and hear your word, Father. Thank you for giving us your word, which truly still speaks to us even today, just as it did to these people, Father. Father God, as we close, just let us meditate on that this morning, Father. Just help us to know through everything and in everything, Father, you are with us. And because of that, it doesn't take a lot of effort.